Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 128 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. That's one Sean Couturier times two. That's right, we finally reached this point. What's going on, everybody? It's Drew Papsky here. I got Jeff DeAngelis, and I got a scowling Doyle looking at me.
See,
as
you
I
put
said,
the Sean Couturier fires out. Two.
I always put the fires out, baby, because the fires were burning on Broad Street on Sunday. Ooh, baby. That's right.
It's Flyers podcast. It's not that you called the Philadelphia Flyers
the Philadelphia Fires because they're on fire right now.
And then you cut the podcast
and you
off.
Stopped it and started it again.
I did not hit stop. Oh, man. So,
Oh, hi, Jeff.
Oh, hi, Doyle. Hi, Mark. So we are all here ready to talk to you about some Flyers hockey and what's happened over the past few games. And to look forward, because we are on the eve tonight of the parade. So if you're listening to this on Thursday morning on your way to the Eagles parade, I almost said Phillies parade, I think, because I'm so used to saying, oh, that Phillies parade, that was fun, right? There is a mother Frenching Eagles Super Bowl parade tomorrow, people, or today if you're listening to this.
Good choice not to curse.
Yeah, right. I think I got a curse. We went pretty good last week. I think we just said hell and damn.
Yeah, I said god damn. I think that was the
worst thing. Was it. No one ever called us out. We had a clean cast last week, people. We finally did it, so we're good.
I think I cursed.
We're good to. I think that was.
I don't think you did.
No, we didn't say the S or the F word.
All right. Well, that's cool.
There were a lot of innuendos, but there
was
a
lot of. We got FCC acceptable curse words.
Yes, just ones you can say on regular TV.
Like mung.
No, it did not say mung last week. Did not. Anyway, so I am personally on cloud nine right now, and there Doyle broke it. Okay.
Oh boy.
Thank God. Oof, now I don't have to worry about doing it. But no, I am I'm just been floating and walking on sunshine hell all week. between the Eagles winning on Sunday and just it just feels so good, and I think the Flyers have been drawn from the energy. So we have a couple
games. Are you sad though?
About.
Because now your alcoholism doesn't have an excuse.
It never had an excuse, Jeff.
Well, no, before.
Dude, he said he was going to stop. He's like, dude, I can't wait to not drink, like, tomorrow after the Super Bowl. And I'm pretty sure he drank the next day.
Well, you're riding high.
Monday night, I went out to dinner, and I wasn't feeling too hot still from the weekend, so I got a bucket of Michelob Ultras at Miller's Ale House to wean myself off.
I wasn't feeling too hot.
Are you sure that's
I got
like
a
you
bucket.
Going, it's just you going through withdrawals.
And last night, someone wanted to go out for a drink, and I got like three, and I went, I went to bed. It's fine. And then tonight, I didn't drink it all today.
Yeah, you're like, it's a damnedest thing. I feel
tonight,
like shit when I don't drink.
Oh, wait, tonight we're going to Philly to get ready for the
exactly.
Yeah, my friends are peer pressure. What do you want from me, people?
I feel like shit when I don't drink, but when I do, I feel better. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing.
Actually, well, all right. So this weekend of Flyers hockey, let's just get to it, okay? The Devils game, they lost 4-3, whatever. I don't remember what happened because it's just that's all old hat, as they say in the business. You know, I'm in the radio business.
Thanks.
The business of show. So this past Saturday, the Flyers played the Senators, and after having a pretty poo-poo effort for some of the game and not really
the whole game,
the chances they can
it wasn't
get,
the whole game. It was like
I mean,
the
they still outshot them, but they really turned it on the second and third period.
Yeah, the second and third period was
the
all
Flyers down by two in the third period, came back to score, including an awesome goal at the end there. Nolan Patrick scored with
three
seconds left. It was awesome. The Flyers pulled the goalie, and that was just I was going nuts. I was actually in New York this past weekend for Mo, and I was sitting at a bar after only a few hours of sleep, drinking again. My Bloody Mary sucked, but I was like sitting there watching the game because it wasn't on in my hotel, and I yelled in the middle of people's lunch. It was like a bar and restaurant, little like I don't know, like craft beer and like food house thing I just found that was nearby, and I finished my beer afterwards after I watched they wound up losing though in overtime. I'm sorry, shootout. And then I went to my hotel room and threw up. And then I you wake up and then you a little Adderall and then you start drinking again and then you go out and rage more and then you wake up in the morning and you drive home on the turnpike and you stop at a rest stop and this guy who you were yelling Eagles at all night at the Mo shows, because I was like, yo, bro.
This happens to be there.
He still has a Super Bowl shirt on. I was like, dude, we're going to win it tonight, man. He's like, how'd you feel this morning? I'm like shit, man. He goes, yeah, man, it's cool, though. We're winning the Super Bowl tonight. I'm like, yeah, and that's all that got me through the day, was just knowing the Super Bowl was. I was at an all-time low. My morale was low. I needed a nap and a lot of ibuprofen to get through on Sunday, and a little bit of champagne after the game certainly helps. So, yes, Jeff, I'm still on the wagon. Or off the wagon, whatever you. I don't know how you.
Yeah, no, it's off the
you'd
wagon.
Be off, yeah, off the wagon.
It's on if you're not drinking.
But off the wagon's way less fun. On the wagon just sounds like a more fun term. I feel like it means you are drinking.
No. You want to get on the wagon because you're not supposed to drive drunk, I think.
I wasn't driving drunk.
No, but that's what...
Oh, okay.
It's a joke.
Oh, okay. Thank God. Well...
No, boo, I stink.
Guess I forgot to laugh.
God damn it.
Dude, I was... that going back to that Nolan Patrick goal, I was so amped up watching that because, like, all day Saturday, I was just watching Eagles videos of, like... Brian Dawkins highlight tapes.
Yeah.
Brian Dawkins pregame speeches.
Do you believe on your chest? Knock on chest yeah, right now. Knock
exactly.
On
the one speech that he has at like the, I don't know what game it was, but it was one of the games they did like the blackout jerseys, and he's just like screaming. He's like, "This moment, this hour, there ain't no tomorrow for us, fellas."
Was that the Cowboys game?
I don't know.
They won, like, they had to win to get in the playoffs, and everyone lost that day. That was that 08, 09 run, probably.
I don't know. It could have been.
It might have been that one. I'm not sure, though.
But, yeah, and then, like, the end of that, I think it's that same speech at the end of it. I'm like, I don't know all the words, what he says, but it just gives me so...
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, he called it speaking in tongues. He
just
talks
like
about it.
Running through a brick wall afterwards.
That does get me pumped up. I used to like love listening to that stuff and getting pumped up for it. And like, yeah, sorry, it's been a lot of Eagles references tonight, people.
Yeah,
but can you really blame us? Because
we just won
our first goddamn Super Bowl.
He used to turn the light down, put on the videos, get out the KY. It pumps me up.
And a full baker's dozen
pumps,
of Krispy Kremes.
Pumped. Gonna make these cream filled.
Loaded. I just put a hole in it with a bottle of booze and just stuff it. It sops up all the alcohol. It's good. It's tequila donuts or something like that. Or rum donuts.
Rum donuts.
That sounds awful.
I know it does, but once you get past the first two, it ain't bad.
Yeah,
it's
rum.
Like Ned's Natty Ice, right?
Rum donuts might be the only thing that actually tastes kind of good because rum cake's not bad.
Yeah, rum. Well, yeah, actually, it's baked in there. Yeah, but rum cake is not bad. You're right. But rum cake is almost as good as, seriously, to go back to what Doyle said and what I said earlier, the Patrick Nolan. I know a guy named Patrick Nolan. That's why I always say that.
Patrick.
That goal was great, and he's really been, turning it on lately, and he seems to be finally being more comfortable in his role. And even the lineups have switched around a little bit.
He's now the second line.
His line with him, Simmons and Voracek, he looks
comfortable.
He looks comfortable, and he looks like much faster too now.
Yeah, he's skating now.
Yeah, he's able to move.
Well, he's played about almost half of an NHL season. He missed some games through a concussion, so I don't know exactly the amount of games he's played, but we're past the halfway point, and he has just. I mean, he's gotten better all season. I mean, no one's expecting him to come out what's his name from the Leafs last year? Austin Matthews, the Oilers guy. Dude, I'm just on
Connor
Eagles
McDavid
right now. Yeah.
Eichel.
I'm also drank a lot, so I'm just where that
he's
is.
He's played 44 games, by
okay,
the way.
44 games. Okay, so he played a half NHL season, just a little bit over. So that works.
Yeah, the concussion set him back, though.
Of course it did.
A lot.
He was only 8 games into it. Still enough time to be sent down to junior.
That's a player that's an 8-year veteran.
Yeah, that was a great conspiracy theory, by the way.
That was awesome.
Which one was that, Doyle?
When Nolan Patrick got a concussion, like
Hold
it was
on,
taking him
Doyle.
Forever.
What was that conspiracy theory?
Was it October 2017? Nolan Patrick gets a concussion in the game. He's held out for almost 2 months. Was he going to be sent down to juniors, or was he going to be brought back to play?
Why is it Sanheim in the lineup again?
Hextall said, NP, no problem, back to junior.
Back to you.
Update.
Nolan Patrick scored the game winner.
He didn't go back to junior. And that's it.
And that's how we end a bit. That
but
yeah, had no legs to begin.
So now the Flyers have
a bit that we shoehorned into
the Flyers have a very clear and distinct first and second line now, and then a very amorphous blob like third
a
and fourth
hodgepodge
line.
Of
yeah,
just, a cacophony of errors.
Just kind of like,
can we give the European line a name?
The Lawton,
the Stinks line,
the bottom one.
Yeah, the
third line
one.
We got Lawton, Lear, and we also a little bit of speed and youngsters and the little young guns.
Yeah,
and then the fourth line we have Jori Lehterä. I said Jori, not Jori. Jori Lehterä, Michael Raffle, and of course centered by the one, the only.
Valtteri Filppula.
So he's centering that line.
I think it was in the pre-games for the game last night against the who did they play last night? The Hurricanes, and they were like, we don't really know who the third and fourth line is. And I was like, yeah, the fourth line is definitely Philip Woods. He looks like shit.
I mean, I thought he's played pretty well this season.
His skating has gotten progressively worse.
He's a little bit slower.
He's got to be hurt because there's no, unless like he just broke down that much, there's got to be something that like he's hurt and he's not letting anybody know.
Do you think
it's
a stretch to say he's played decent this season overall, though, up until like recently?
His point, I mean, he's got a decent amount of points.
Yeah, he's just,
he's like on pace to be kind of where he was last year. He's at like 23 points right now.
Like lately,
he had a bad, yeah, he has 23 points right
lately
now.
He's been
bad.
Just noticeably bad.
He ended up with 42 last year.
Yeah. And as we speak right now, the Flyers are holding down the first wild card spot by the ends of their fingernails here. They have 59 points. Columbus is 58. The Islanders are 58, 57 for Carolina. New York Rangers 55. So
yeah, from top to bottom, they're all 10 points apart.
And these are all Islanders, Carolina, Rangers, and Columbus. They are all Metro opponents in our division.
And good news
that's
is...
That's why it was good to get the extra point last night versus Carolina. Exactly. You hate to see give them a point, but really, as long as you have 2 points, all you got to do is take care of business when you're ahead.
Yeah, Cam Ward was doing ridiculous things, so it's good that they even got a point.
The good news is that since the Flyers are so bad at shootouts, their regulation overtime wins number is actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As it stands right now.
They have a lot of tiebreakers over like everybody under them right now.
Yeah, they have 25, and everyone under them has like the highest is 23 with the Islanders. And everyone else is like 21 or 22. So as long as they keep doing that, we should
hope the Rangers continue this downward trend because
they're blowing
fire,
the team up.
Yeah, fire sale. The team has been picking up steam in the rumor mill.
They're 3-7-0 in their last 10. I mean, the Flyers have doesn't look great, but they're 5-4-1. They won that big streak of winning a bunch and losing one or two.
Oh right, but like New York has been like the we're going to trade everybody has just been picking up steam.
Have you seen what some of like the asking prices are for what they're asking for?
I can imagine.
Rick
way
Nash.
Too damn high.
Yeah.
Rick Nash is going to be a very expensive rental.
Even worse is the apparently the Sabres are looking for like a regular NHL player, a prospect, and like a first round pick and something else for Evander Kane.
That's graphic.
And Nick Foles, I heard too. They want Nick Foles to be traded as well.
No. Yeah, so they're probably not going to trade Evander Kane.
Oh, my God.
Unless they, like,
he's like a locker room cancer. Everywhere he goes, no one likes him.
Well, and he's not even having, like, he's only scored 30 goals once. He's in a contract year.
Yeah.
Like,
he's also one of two Canes to be arrested by Buffalo police.
Interesting. I think you're onto something here, Jeff.
Must be the water in Buffalo.
Water buffalo. What is this, a National Geographic show or a hockey and sports show? Jesus.
God.
You have to spend all day with me at the parade tomorrow. Are you ready for this?
I'm going to stay as far away from you as possible.
Doyle,
being trampled somehow.
What happens?
Drew's going to turn
little bearded man. Drew's I lost my friends.
He's going to turn around and you guys are all going to ditch him. slink off.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Meet back up.
We'll sink our watches.
Yeah. I'm going to sink you in the Schuylkill. I'm going to drown him. Whatever, I'll have a 30-pack of Natty Light strapped to my old back there. It's going to be great.
I don't know why you'd want to carry that around all day.
No.
Well, it's called put half of it in my friend's apartment and put the other half
in. Are you
going to
put it
bag.
In a book bag?
Are you going to front carry your book bag or back carry your book bag?
Ooh, you got to front carry it.
No one will know because I'm fat.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
You got to front carry it.
Why does this guy keep pulling some Natty Lights out of his gut?
There's my belly button, sir. Yeah.
If you're back carrying it, people are going to be able to steal shit from you and you won't know.
Yeah, so you got to front carry it.
Yeah, true.
You got to cradle it like a baby. Get a baby Bjorn.
What, a baby what?
That's cloth that they wrap around.
Now, what'd you say?
Baby Bjorn? Is it baby Bjorn?
No, I don't know what it is.
Baby.
I don't know what it is
either.
It's
like a hammock.
Did you get your girl pregnant?
No.
You going to daddy classes?
Oh, no. It's like a hammock for your baby in it.
Why don't you just say
right
a sling?
Your
all right, make sure you guys call our line, 856-347-PUCK. And congrats, Jeff, on
fatherhood. Shut up.
You know, actually, we started getting spam calls on that line now.
Did we?
Like a lot of calls with no voice.
Are people
mail.
Asking
I'm
us
Googling
to lower our electric bill?
Hi, would you like to lower your supply charges on your electric account?
We're calling for Robert Haig.
And it's like, yes, listen. Or they just like audio spam botted our episodes and found all the Rupert Higgs.
There should be a way you can set up like a voicemail for fake numbers where you just set it up to say, you have reached the voicemail box of Rupert Haig.
But
it can't be the automated version. It just has to be like a guy just saying, hi, you've reached the voicemail box of.
And then cut it in.
Yeah, it's like obviously doctor, not even a real one. That's the way it has to be for that. So the Ottawa Senators game on Saturday, Flyers, good to see them get a point out of that after coming back And it sucks they lost in a shootout. But, you know, we're kind of used to it at this point.
Senators stink.
And then last night, or Tuesday, two nights ago for you Thursday people, because, you know.
Wait, go back to that game and the Devils game. We didn't talk about how, like, what your thoughts on Alex Lyon were.
Oh, yeah, Alex Lyon getting his getting a relief start for Neuwirth versus the not star. He comes in the game as relief with Neuwirth.
Is he still with the team?
And then gets pulled.
Right, because he stinks.
And then and they wound up putting Lyon in the starter versus the Senators. He didn't really, I mean, I don't really have much to say about him. I would have liked to see him have a better, like, you know, his first real start. But I'm not giving up hope on him yet. I don't know if he's, I mean, we all know who the real guy moving up is.
Oh, yeah, he's not. He's just an AHL
Robert Ash
guy.
Is coming back. That's what we're talking about. Carter Hart. That's what we're talking about.
Lyon's like a glorified Rob Zepp at this point. He'll just stay in the AHL.
Yeah, I'm not
until he goes somewhere else.
He could possibly be a backup. Who knows? But he didn't really show much to be too excited about.
Yeah,
but,
I think
he could be a system guy that helps with the AHL or as a backup.
Every team needs a Neil Little.
Yeah, and he was too busy lying around on his back instead of saving pucks. Am I right, people? Am I right, America?
Hey, you won the Calder Cup.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah,
we would. Neil Little won the Calder Cup.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I meant.
Alex Lyon has won nothing of merit.
I mean, he's here to call pucks.
That's an all-expenses pay trip back to
the
minors.
Yeah, it was funny. He, got beat 5-hole the first time. So then the next game, as Duchesne was coming across the crease in front of him, he was, too busy looking 5-hole, and then Duchesne just put it right up over his shoulder.
Yeah, they were
top shelf.
They were glove. They were shooting for the glove most of the time.
He's an AHL goalie.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you get an AHL goalie that comes in when your starter gets hurt.
I mean, I think so far I'd rather take Stolarz over Lyon.
Is that a serious statement?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Oh, I didn't know.
At least Stolarz has a good record in the NHL.
Oh, sorry.
Dog shit.
Stolarz, the goalie, had a shutout.
His stats might be good, but his knee is terrible.
And most of his body generally.
Oh, my knee hurts. Oh, I hurt the same knee again. Shit.
Yeah, that's why they got rid of him.
It's the career of Anthony Stolarz.
It's got rid of him.
Yeah. I'm out indefinitely.
He thought he was in the conversation to be a backup, and Hextall's like, yeah, it's not happening. Nope, we're going to go out and get Brian Elliott, who, by the way, returned versus the Hurricanes game.
And we signed Brian Elliott. We got an idiot. We had Stolarz. And then, 2 days later, it was Stolarz' knee exploded. And I'm like, oh, man, good thing we signed
Elliott. Besides the power play goal he let up in the first period, Elliott played, a pretty solid game.
The power play goal he let up? Come on.
Yeah.
Do you not know what the PKs...
If he played
I'm just saying in general. That
if he played
play
so
goal.
Well, explain to me why Claude Giroux had to make the game-winning save.
Well, Elliott made the first game-winning save, and Elliott followed
it
up.
Yeah, but then it was going to go in because it was deflected in the air. He just slowed it down, you know? It's not that great.
Shut up.
All right, Skip Bayless, are you done?
Speaking of which,
can
you dude.
Colin Cowherd
can
over
you
here.
Colin Cowherd
is the worst coach.
Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless were so sour grapes.
So salty.
They should be.
It was so funny to watch.
They put both feet in their mouth.
Skip Bayless is
Skip
such
Bayless
an
was trying to say he was bitching about.
If the Eagles had Sean Lee, they would have. That's how they're going to win this game. They don't have Sean Lee, so they can't.
He was bitching about penalties that weren't called.
Oh my God!
Yeah, well, I was like,
both
dude, really?
Conversion we went for. Alshon Jeffrey has a D-back draped all over him.
Yeah, the other
goddamn clothesline.
The same one. The next 2-point conversion, I think it was Clement, was getting pushed before the ball was even there.
Yeah,
it's like
the
come
kid
on.
From Glasboro, the local kid, right? You ever heard Corey Clement actually is from Glasboro? I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
Yeah.
He's from Glasboro, which is in New Jersey, which is near where Rowan is, which is near Philadelphia.
It's
local kid.
It's a sweet irony to watch Patriots fans go on about how the ref screwed them in the Super Bowl and how nothing about how nothing ever goes their way and
yeah, hilarious.
They're out to get us for Deflategate. Well, it's because you cheated and lowered the air on football. They're out to get us for spying because you cheated and you spied on people.
Colin Cowherd's prediction before the game made it so much funnier. Because he said, the Eagles were going to get blown out, and it wouldn't even be close. And,
it's quite a game.
Drink that one in, guy.
Yeah, not going to be close. I have a few words for you.
That's terrific.
Sorry, Robert. Slobbered De Niro for you.
Did any of the pundits pick the Eagles to win?
Only a few here and there.
It's only a few.
Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football.
Apparently, I heard... Oh, yeah, he's the man, dude. Yeah. That guy deserves a statue of his own in Philadelphia for sticking with us every game. But apparently, I heard tell that the day after Super Bowl parade they do, and Nick Foles was there in Disneyland or Disney World, whatever.
Yeah.
Mickey and all his...
Oh, they were all dressed in red and blue.
Red and blue.
Yeah.
So they must have thought, oh, the Patriots won last year, but it's just the same costumes.
Wow, what fuckos.
And the Eagles, if you haven't heard, are green! Midnight green variety.
Yeah, sorry. Well...
I told you it's going to happen. We're going to talk about the Flyers for 5 minutes and go on an Eagles tangent for about 5 or to 10 or 20. Then we'll go back to the Flyers.
Yeah, I can't help it. I keep steering in that direction. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, that's what... I mean, it's... whatever. It's our show. I mean, if you skip till next week when we're, like, you know, still happy but not talking about it as much, but literally...
next week is the Eagles Super Bowl clip show. We're just going to...
Blake Clips was talking about the Eagles before Super Bowl and then this episode right here. So if you like that one, be sure and... It's really exciting, and if you aren't a football fan or don't care for the Eagles, sucks to suck because it's a great feeling, and I can only hope that the Flyers do the same soon because the only thing that'll be close in comparison to my feeling about this Eagles team will be if the Flyers hoist Lord Stanley's cup over their heads in my lifetime.
Well, right now, if current trends prevail, we won't have another championship until 2028.
Yeah, that's one of the... I mean,
every 10 years
series,
so far.
Phillies won the World Series was great. I really enjoyed it. The parade was awesome, and it was great to see a team I've watched since I was a kid win. However, that being said, as I've said many times on this program, or if you know me, hockey and football are my two main passions in sports, and the Flyers and Eagles, specifically watching NHL and NFL, like they're my favorite. So I care way more about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and the Flyers winning the Cup than I do about the Phillies or Sixers winning. That being said, I'd love it and enjoy it, but...
You need to get on the trust the process train, man.
No, I do. I do support them. And they're on and like we're doing stuff, hanging out. I'll watch it. I just don't go out of my way to watch it. You know? I mean, there's a lot of Flyers games to watch.
Yeah, it just bores me.
And I'm not into basketball as much. But, I mean, the Sixers winning would be great, but it's not going to make me hold my uncle and have tears in my eyes like we finally won after, you know.
Oh, you guys were out. So I was watching the Fox 29 like coverage on Sunday night after the game, and they were like, the one dude was in Minnesota and he was talking to Eagles fans at US Bank Stadium, and like they're just like, what do you think about the game? And the guy's talking, and then like Joel Embiid just like walks into the
shot.
Yeah,
man, it's a great interview.
Yeah, and he's just like, hey, what's up? And they're like, oh my God, Joel Embiid.
Well, they're in Philly, right?
No, they were in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Joel Embiid just walked into the shot, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh my God.
He went to a lot of Eagles games this year,
actually. Yeah, apparently every game he's been at, they didn't lose.
Yeah.
I think two of the three I went to this year, one being the playoff game, I'm pretty sure they were there. And the Sixers actually, I believe, asked to watch the game, or like they fixed their travel schedule, didn't they?
Well, they had to go to the Super Bowl. They had to win like 7 in a row or something like that, and they did not do that.
Yeah, but Joel Embiid still went there.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's going to happen. I do know that the Flyers, though, for the NFC Championship game, they left the we talked about this last week. They left the Caps game early after the game. They're like, we want to rush back to watch the game. They actually got to go.
Yeah,
and that's how they saw. I really think, to bring it back to the Flyers and the rest of the Philly sports here, there's a lot of young talent on all the teams, and they all seem to be building at the same time. We might set ourselves up here for a great decade in Philly sports, I think.
Apparently.
That's the hopefulness. That's the plan of if things fall. I mean, obviously, you can't hope. You can't.
Not everything is going to fall in
guys
place.
Guys are going to get career-ending injuries. I mean, guys are going to wind up sucking.
Yeah, but coach doesn't know how to utilize talent. Yeah.
Well, the Phillies just had...
Chip Kelly might take over the Sixers and blow it up. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen here.
The Phillies just had, like, one of the, like, top prospects, I guess, that they got in the trade when they traded Ken Giles. I think they said he might retire. He's young.
Yeah. Ken Giles? Is he with the Jay Giles band?
So apparently the Flyers beat writers were saying that the Flyers have practice Thursday morning today, and that it's in Voorhees, and they're not canceling it. And basically, like, half the team lived in Center City, and they were like, you might just want to hang out in Voorhees for a while because you're not going to be able to get back.
They have a morning skate on Thursday in Voorhees for their game on Thursday night?
Yeah,
so they're...
Really?
Yeah,
because
right?
everybody's going to be down.
Oh, I guess they can have the morning skate at the Wells Fargo Center. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense now.
So they're doing it there, and they basically told the Flyers, like, well, sorry, but we're not going to the parade.
Well, tickets for the Montreal Canadiens game on the website, they're
pennies.
Doing... Two tickets for... So if you're listening to this right now and you still want to go, and you, I mean,
check
first
StubHub.
Of all, check StubHub first. But if you want to support the Flyers ticket office and all their outlandish prices and them calling me going, hey, Drew, I know you're in college and broke, but you want season tickets? I'm like, no, I don't want season tickets. They're selling two tickets for $52 pretty much all the upper level. Yeah. A lot of it's still available because they're where people won't go.
You know,
and of course, 52 is the number of the Super Bowl that equals one. So it's a promotion for the Eagles.
Oh, well, if you go on StubHub, you can get two tickets for $15 each.
Yeah.
And that's $30. And then you have $22 left over to get one beer because they're $87
a piece or
whatever
it is. You buy two Snake Dog Pounders and you have yourself a good time. You drink them both at the same time. Then you pull an extra $22 and say, give me a hell yeah, and drink two more of them.
The Flyers did that last year.
I thought you were going to get like three hot dogs.
Three hot dogs, what?
Naturally. But the
four Bloody Marys.
The Flyers did that last year where they're like,
Lorenzo's Pizza.
We have the same prices as ticket resale sites. And then when you would like look on the Flyers website and then look on StubHub, you're like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Not even close.
That's called. That's that's probably true for like a certain percentage of the time.
Right,
they legally
yeah.
can say that.
And you're like tricking.
Overall,
you're like tricking old people. And like, oh, I'm going to buy game tickets for my grandson.
Support the Wells Fargo Center and the Flyers. Comcast Spectacor.
Like, no, you partner with StubHub too. You'll be just fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think
somebody paid for those tickets full price.
They'll be mm-hmm. good.
I'm just getting them for $30.
So maybe Doyle and I will wind up there. Depends on how ridiculous tomorrow gets in Philadelphia. Because Doyle and I, right after the recording of this program, one on Wednesday night, we'll be heading into the city to camp and post up at our friend's place. So that way we're in the city tomorrow morning and avoid the South Jersey Patco train mess for all the people that are local, knowing that, you know, if you're listening to this now, too late, you're not going to get in the city. Cause it's
everyone's going away from the – everyone's going to the art museum, so you should be able to work your way back down Broad
Street
by the time
it's over. Well, if we get up early enough, we can possibly get to the art museum for the parade. And cause the art museum, for those of you who don't know, is where the – that's the end of where the parade's going to – the little ceremony they're going to do and, like, you know, the whole little, you know, speakers and everything. I'm sure B-Doc will be there.
Yeah, like, I kind of want to go to that, but I also feel like that's where every single person's going to
go. I mean, that's everyone's end goal.
It depends. We're going to talk about it tonight with our buddies that are going, and we'll see, like, hey, do you want to get up early and do this? And we'll try it, and if not, we can go somewhere else. Because they're going to have TVs everywhere and big, you know, projection screens.
Projectors.
Conjectures and projectures.
What's the definition of projecture?
That is, it's like conjecture, but it's when you're absolutely sure, you're not guessing. Based on things you're given.
Mm.
It's a new word I came up with. UrbanDictionary.com. Look it
Conjecture.
Up.
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid, but not the car, not a Prius. But
not a low bridge.
Why would you not? I mean, the fact that... All right. I am so happy about this, but it's just... I love the city of Philadelphia, clearly. They're giving... Bud Light is giving us fucking free beer on the day of an Eagles parade, their first Super Bowl ever. Now, that's all good and dandy. However,
they announce where they're going
to
be?
They're going to be up and down the parade route, different bars giving out Bud Lights to people that are 21 or older.
Hmm.
So we're getting free beer. We're getting a Super Bowl parade. What else could – what can go wrong? I mean, a lot.
What can go wrong?
A lot. There's going to be so many shirtless dudes like, dudes playing.
You.
Dudes were jumping. Not me. I'm well behaved. I'm not a rioter. I don't agree with people jumping on cars. However, I did see a video of like my cousin on Snapchat because he's like my younger cousin, like is being a drunk ass. And he was like, they're all like sitting on the car and like jumping on it and standing up on it like a trampoline. He's just like, he's just laying on it like,
Yeah.
The guy gets out of his car. I'm like, he's gonna be pissed. He gets on top of the roof of his car and starts dancing with them. That's how ridiculous it felt.
Dude, I saw so many videos.
I heard gunshots in Delco. Literally gunshots. Someone was shooting their gun off instead of fireworks. So they didn't have any fireworks.
I saw so many people, like, the videos of people, like, the people who broke into Macy's, and then they had, like, the arms of the mannequins, and they're, running around with them. And you're just like, what are you doing, you idiot? Like, the one kid just got arrested for flipping the car today.
I mean, yeah, well, here's the thing. If it was a movie scene, it'd be hilarious. In a sick way, it is kind of funny. But why do you need to break and destroy property or break in somewhere? And obviously, there's people that come into the party just to do shit because they can get away with it because it's a crime of opportunity.
Yeah.
But why the hell are you gonna break stuff and steal stuff, dude? There's no reason for that. I mean, most of the stuff I saw, besides that, those idiots were people. The worst thing I saw possibly that was that was widespread. People climbing poles.
Yeah.
That's just for public danger and possible.
Oh my god! And so many people did trust falls off shit.
Yeah,
that's
nobody
what I was
caught
about to say.
Them. That's awful. But most of it was people just
trust falls
just
off
there,
the awning,
waving Eagles
Catch
flags, chanting, hugging, high fiving. Like it was actually, from what I saw, it was a party, but it wasn't that crazy. But there were, of course, you're gonna have, when you have that many people together.
Oh god! Did you see the people climbing the gate?
Which gate?
At City Hall?
Yeah,
it looked
City
like
Hall.
World War Z. Yeah, it was wild.
I didn't see that, but that's not good.
Yeah. It was the same way for the Phillies parade, and then there was like, you
except
know,
this is like Mountain Dew Extreme.
Well, yeah, but like we, you know, we were like having fun with people in the streets, and then we round a corner, and then they're throwing a bus stop through Robinson Luggage's window, and we're just like, shit, what just happened?
And then Jeff's like, I got a flight out next week. I gotta get me some luggage.
Know? And I feel like that's what is probably what it was for the Eagles too, because like everybody was hanging out, and then all of a sudden you turn a corner, and like somebody lit a Christmas tree on fire in the middle of the street.
Yeah, I saw
it's
that.
Like, what?
Why do you still have a Christmas tree?
Why'd you flip a Toyota Prius over? I hate electric.
Well, now what? They do have a point. Priuses do. They are for, you know.
Goddamn frou-frou hybrids.
Little sissies. So, yeah.
You can break into Macy's, and then they couldn't get in through the second set of windows. So they just stole everything from the window displays.
Yeah, I don't understand it. So the Flyers.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
The Eagles are the biggest one. I think the Flyers will be the second biggest parade when they win. Not if they win. They're going to win in my lifetime. I think the Flyers will be the second biggest one because it'll be the
now with Hackstall as a coach, bringing it back full circle.
You don't think so?
Did you see Peterson?
You don't think he's going to win a cup?
I mean, no, did you see they asked Peterson, like, what about coaching in the game, and he was just like, you know, you gotta, like, if you want to win, you gotta take risks and like challenge stuff. And then like everybody on Twitter was just like, now compare that to Dave Hackstall. It was like, yeah, we're up by one in the second period, let's just play conservative for the rest of the game.
Is that actually him though, what do you think, or is that the player sometimes?
No
too?
I feel like Hackstall takes that like, well, we're up, so let's just try to not let them score on us approach to every game. And
but
the
do
Flyers
we have any
end
evidence
up losing.
Of that
Every game where they sit back and don't do anything for a whole period.
Do you think it's them or just the players doing
it? I think it's the system.
Okay. Hey, I'm not trying to shoot you down.
I think
I
also they have an extreme lack of talent.
Yeah. It's
very top heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. An extreme, they're like a bell curve, but in the worst
remember,
way.
Remember like, in the beginning of the season, we were so happy to have four lines that could score?
Right.
How the narrative has changed.
But they're like a bell curve. Two. It's like they're top heavy with skill, and then they're top heavy with really bad players. And it's just like, and there's like very few people in the middle. It's like Jordan Wheel.
I was looking at the point totals of like people on the Flyers right now. And I think like it's obviously.
Line.
Yeah, it's the well. Even Konechny obviously is a new addition to the first line, so he's still. I mean, I think he has 25 points.
He does. I have it up right now. Provorov has 25 points. Yeah. Philpula 23. Then it goes to Matt Reed with 16.
Matt Reed.
I'm sorry, Michael Raffle.
I
don't know
why. Say,
yeah.
Reed that's has, awesome. Matt Reed's getting all those
Matt
points.
Reed has 16 points from the AHL.
I'm sorry. As soon as I said it, I was like, Drew, what the hell did you just say? I saw Michael Raffle and it read Matt Reed. I mentioned I was really drunk these past few days, you know, just this weekend.
Yeah, but it's just like a huge fall off from Philpula and then down. It's just like not good.
Dude, the worst part is
Brandon Manning has 10 points and Robert Haig only has 6. So, I mean, we have to trade Robert Haig.
Yeah, probably.
Bob
yeah, I don't like that. A lot of people are hating on him. I don't understand
he
why.
Had a pretty rough
because
game.
His Corsi's bad.
Oh, my God.
Good thing Gudas didn't get suspended for that hit on Palmieri, though. His trade value is still pretty high.
Yeah, Gudas is 7 points.
That was,
seven,
like, six. Incidental.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he jumped like he did, but he was just trying to avoid Simmons, and he just truck-sticked Palmieri.
Gudas
yeah.
has been suspended for 10 games and still has played more games than Weiss and Manning. It's pretty crazy.
You wouldn't
Another
know
note,
it.
Gudas has only taken, what, like 3 penalties since he's been suspended?
Yeah, but Coetzee was going off on that Palmieri hit when I was listening on the radio the other night.
I mean,
Thursday.
It definitely.
And he was saying how like they pretty much have like in a way like clipped his wings or I don't know if he said castrated, but he basically was alluding to the fact they took away like, his balls and he can't play the way he does. It makes him an effective player.
It wasn't a charge.
Well,
it wasn't contact to the head. So like I don't understand why he jumped, but they were saying like he left his skates, but like he didn't. He hit Palmieri on the way back down.
Simmons. The way that Simmons was coming at him, it looked like he was about to get tripped by Simmons.
Yeah.
So he jumped over his foot.
And like he didn't launch up into Palmieri. So like I get why the Devils were angry because it looked bad. But
yeah.
Like then everybody was talking about it like it was this bad hit. And
yeah.
It was like, did you watch it? Like all the damage happened because Palmieri's head hit the ice.
Yeah.
And then he came back like 10 minutes later after they sat him down in the quiet room and they were like,
it was fine. Yeah.
And yet Komarov still not suspended for boarding Shane Goss's pair, so I don't want to hear anything.
Oh, that was before the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That's old hat now. Yeah. We're all happy. No, that was absolute horse shit when that happened a few weeks ago. Not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Well,
but,
did you see that, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but Gary Bettman had to publicly comment on goalie interference because it's just become like a joke.
You said the refs are overthinking
it's become,
right?
Yeah, it's become like a league-wide joke now because like nobody knows.
The same
like
thing's happening
in the
NFL, yeah. Roger Goodell has to revisit that rule and fix it.
Chris Collins because, was saying Zach Ertz wasn't a catch and saying no. And
that
all
was, listen,
they were shooting down the Eagles so hard on every play.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know the rules of football that well, but he definitely caught it. He definitely established control, turned, and started running. And a ground can't cause the fumble when you're a runner, so I don't understand.
And if he did, he caught it in the end zone.
Yeah, and he passed the plane. So, like, I don't get it.
That's what the one thing that just, like, I sat there, and I was like, dude, will you shut up?
And
wasn't like,
Saturday the Flyers won a goalie interference challenge, too? Was that Saturday? I remember.
Then offsides challenge.
Oh, that's what it was. Offsides challenge. That was
yes,
it
was.
Fun. We won a challenge. That's how I knew we were in the Super Bowl. I'm like, the Flyers won a challenge. What?
Yeah. Speaking of the stars aligning for the Super Bowl, it was like Brian Dawkins gets inducted into the Hall of Fame Saturday, so that's like gets like everybody in. So did T.O.
I was offered free drugs and hugs from Eagles fans all weekend,
and then. Apparently, like the
in New York,
the Chinese calendar or something this
year
is
a
dog.
Yeah,
there it is.
And
dog,
Sunday,
what's for dinner?
Sunday would have been Jerome Brown's 53rd birthday.
52nd birthday, wasn't it?
53rd.
Oh, 53rd. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Why would it have been?
Because he died in a car accident in 1992.
He was like an Eagles favorite.
Got Lindbergh'd.
Before I was even watching the team, it was when I was three.
Yeah.
We were young Bulls.
But he
got
was like
Lindbergh'd.
He was supposed to be very, very, very good.
He was like a fan. He was like a fan favorite. Like rise. He's like kind of like Enter Tishney, but like much more loved. Died tragically.
The mantra after that was bring it home for Jerome.
He was more of like a Pelle Lindbergh kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like as far as the talent and like how much he was loved as like this young guy that might be able to bring it. And this was when Buddy Ryan was coaching too, right? So
Shortly after.
Yeah, so this is around the time when our defense actually was pretty legit.
Yeah, they were
too legit to quit.
The gangrene defense.
Yep, those good times.
Wasn't the '90s a dark time for the Eagles?
The early '90s, not so much. I mean, it should have been better, but they definitely were competitive and they were fighting for division.
The problem with Buddy Ryan was that he focused so much on defense that. He focused next to zero on offense.
Yeah. So
it was like Randall Cunningham was their whole offense, and then the 1 year Randall Cunningham went down like the first or second game. So his season was a shot.
And that's how it ended. Right. Kind of like, McNabb when he was like the only good part of our offense besides like Westbrook and the offensive line. We had no one to throw the ball to back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
They give him T.O. and see what happens. But the Flyers, to go back to them, the Hurricanes game. So the one we watched the other night.
Doggy.
So that was a thriller. I really enjoyed watching the end of that. So I listened to the first period mostly. But what did you guys learn from the Hurricanes games? The Flyers were going a little bit of a skid there. They didn't look like they were playing at the same, focus and the same. That's what I'm looking for. The same. They weren't being consistent in their game. Their game approach. So you'd see flashes. What made them go 16-5-2 in 22 games?
What I learned. Games? Is that Brian Elliott, when Brandon Manning's not scoring on him, severely covers up the team's inadequacy.
Oh, by bailing him out with big saves?
Because that whole game should have been a lot worse than it was.
I mean, the Flyers still outshot them. The Flyers, telling stat, were 0-for-5 on the power play.
The Flyers outshot them in the first period, but I would say the quality of shots were in favor of
which is
Carolina.
Consistently a problem.
Yeah,
the Flyers can outshoot teams all day, but they always outshoot teams from the point.
And they need to really, I know we say this every podcast, but they seriously, the PK just has
to
be.
Now.
Well, luckily, they killed off three of the four, unfortunately.
Well,
the one
they might as well just trade for someone
goal.
Who's really good on
but
PK.
But LaPerriere got
Blair
a pass.
Betts is still around?
Lapp's got a pass last year because you were like, oh, it's just because Vandevelde and Belmar stink. And then this year, they gave him better penalty killers, and you're getting the same result. So, come on.
Is it writing on
Writing's
the wall?
Writing's on the wall, Bubba.
Yeah. But the Flyers, Wayne Simmons scored
Take
up,
your stupid
up in the
teeth
second.
And get the hell out of here.
The third period, the Flyers, at the end of the third period, though, they almost didn't make it to overtime.
No, they really didn't.
The Flyers even had their chances, but I think the Hurricanes had their chances
as
well.
By the end of the game, they were pushing. But then Carolina started pushing, and a game that was pretty boring, the last 10 minutes were wild.
Yeah, they were pretty good. There was a lot up and down. A little river hockey, if you may. And then, of course, the play that really just sealed the deal for the Flyers with 4 seconds left in overtime after the Flyers had, first of all, the Hurricanes controlled the first minute and a half, 2 minutes of that overtime.
Flyers
they were all over them. The Flyers couldn't even touch the puck, couldn't get it. 3-on-3 all the open space, and then the Flyers had their chances, and then they had a bunch of almost shots. Voracek a couple times in the game should have shot it, but what else is new? He's the assist leader for a reason. But Jordan Wheel with 4 seconds left made an awesome.
I hate shootouts, Wheel.
After we had a lot of sustained pressure and the Hurricanes cleared the puck in a desperation move, the Flyers got back after it, and Jordan Wheel skates in, makes some shifts and move to the inside, and slides into the dude's five hole, and he scores after Ghost and Philp have the.
Let's talk about.
You know what's funny about Jake? I think he leads the team in shots.
Does he really?
I think so.
I'll look that up real quick.
While you look that up, let's talk about. I could understand maybe the refs in overtime missing the trip on Couturier.
Oh my god!
And then the
dude.
Subsequent hook because maybe
that was absolute horseshit. Yes.
Maybe the ref was in a series of sneezes, and every time he went to sneeze, his eyes were closed. But allowing the Hurricanes to take their time out
after an icing. Yes. I was losing my shit.
That is a very basic rule. How do you miss that? And like I didn't see anything.
I feel
about
like you
it.
Should get penalized for that.
You should. Like,
if you attempt
like,
to,
it's like
yeah.
A flag in the NFL if there's gonna be a play, it's already challenged.
Yeah. But like the refs were like, we made a mistake. Sorry.
Yeah. By that time, it's already been like
a
minute.
It was a full timeout.
Yeah.
So like, what did the NHL say? I didn't see anything about it. I don't think they even commented.
Yeah. See, here's the thing with that. By the way, Voracek
like the refs
leads
don't
league,
know the rules.
Leads a team in shots along with Coots, 55 each. But about that, so the first before we get to the blown calls before with Couturier, after getting like hooked and tripped or whatever, or looking at that whole timeout thing, as soon as they called, I literally every time there's an icing end of a game during a bad scramble situation, in the back of my head from years of watching hockey, I go, they should call a timeout here. But now, because it's been the year with the new rule, in the back of my head, I go, oh, good, they can't call a timeout here. The Flyers can get a good matchup, and they don't have to worry. There's tired players. Or I'm thinking, should the Flyers call a timeout because their top line needs to score? I always think that, right? Just what I'm thinking as I'm watching the game after watching it for so many years. And as soon as that happened, I went, no, you can't do that. Yeah. I was actually yelling at my TV by
that's
myself.
That's not even like...
You can't do that. And then you saw the Flyers freaking out about it.
That's not even a judgment call. That's not like, it's not goalie interference or, okay, that's not a hook. Like, that is... You shot the puck over the glass from your zone. It's a penalty.
It should be a delay game penalty.
Yeah. There's no ifs,
exactly.
Ands, or buts.
You don't know the rules.
It's a hard and fast rule.
Oh, I didn't know you weren't supposed to have 6 skaters on the ice. Well, you should have fucking known.
And like, it's bad. Like, you see this now. Like, the range... I saw the New York Post because for some reason... Google gives me New York Post articles because I read a couple about the Rangers collapse. But the Rangers are like the Rangers beat writers are now like the referees don't know what they're doing. Like we've had goaltender interference penalties go the wrong way. And like so and like Mike Bond talked about how the Oilers are just it's been terrible. So like league wide, they have to figure out something. Like it's bad and it's getting worse.
The NFL replacement refs did a better job than the NFL than these actual NHL refs.
It's bad and it's getting worse. And the problem is I think they stuff too many people on the ice surface.
When you have too many refs, like two linesmen, two refs, all that stuff? I mean, possibly.
You don't need – realistically, if you just put a high-def GoPro instead of their blurry horse shit in the blue line, you could easily do what a linesman does.
Or you can put a ref like in a box overviewing.
Yeah, or do what they do in tennis and have like a guy sitting up high and be like, that's too many men. I can count all of them. Or that's a hook. I can totally see it because I can see everything.
Yeah, because in an hockey arena, you're much more limited in space than like
I don't
a football
understand.
Or soccer field.
Like, and then even
just wait. Then soon, hopefully soon, they just get rid of referees in all sports, and it becomes AI.
That would be awesome,
Siri. What do you think about
robots?
This?
Are completely neutral.
No robots, dude.
But
until they become self-aware, and
even in overtime
they
against
feel feelings,
even overtime against the Canes, the Flyers got the puck back finally in one of the sequences in overtime and went to go dump it out of zone, and hit the ref. Come on.
Yeah, and also you see Bicentennial Man, dude. It's kind of scary. I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that.
There's not enough proof.
Is he Terminator?
That AI will turn on us and kill us all.
Watching Robin Williams in that dog shit movie was a little scary than a Terminator in real life.
I'm not scared of AI. He couldn't even win a championship with the Sixers.
Oh, very funny. And also, shut up. That was very upsetting to me as a kid. He was the reason I was really getting into the Sixers.
Yeah.
I will say that Couturier, they should have called one. They should have called both, but they should have called one.
Yeah, that was just,
and
I don't
he
know.
Was
so blatant.
Of course he was.
He was looking at him like he was just yelling at the right. He was skating back on the shift. You could see him yelling back.
Even if you say the trip was incidental, whatever it was, they got mixed up feet.
Oh, that hook.
He
was
got
just,
yeah, yeah. He got hooked. He got very blatantly hooked, and the ref was like, I get it. It's overtime. We threw the whistle away, but that was fucking obvious.
Yeah, screw him. Whatever, man.
Well, you don't get the rules right. So what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you can't have a timeout. Oh shit. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's been too much time. Play it cool.
Maybe they won't
yeah,
notice. Seriously, want, like,
besides us bitching about it, that should not happen.
Has anybody addressed that? Like,
no, I haven't seen anything.
Oh my god.
We are
refs don't know rules. Bettman apologizes. Yeah. They should know better. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'll venture to say we know our hockey at least for a decent amount, but we're also three assholes, and I am
Speak for yourself.
We are three assholes. And we
are you
call
saying
it, we
that you have three assholes?
Well, after tomorrow I might. Sell my body on Broad Street tomorrow.
Hey, to be fair, though, they got hand slashes out of the game, so.
Oh, my God.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Priorities, not in still, order, reps.
There's still no consistency with discipline.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's awful.
It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah, so I don't even know what we're going to do about those refs. They will probably walk away unscathed like everyone else that's in power. But looking at the head of the Flyers schedule this week before we start wrapping up the show, the Flyers, going into the night, if you're listening, go Eagles Parade. They are playing the Montreal Canadiens, we said, pretty cheaply, cheap, 7 o'clock at home. And then they go to Arizona on Saturday, the desert, for 8 o'clock start versus the Coyotes. And Sunday, they have their first matchup against the Vegas Golden Knights, the amazingly talented, apparently, Vegas Golden Knights. At February 11th on Sunday, and then they come back on Tuesday home to play the Devils, 7 o'clock, very important game. Then we'll be back here to break down the middle of February as the Flyers enter, which is sure to be a busy trade deadline for some teams, and also the home stretch of the season where the Flyers are playing an obscene amount of Eastern Conference games, and most of those conference games are division games where the Flyers are playing teams that are right either below them or above them in the standings, and that the Flyers want to keep this wild card seed they have going. They're going to keep playing the way they were about 2 weeks ago and for most of the time since Christmas, and opposed to the last few games where they've kind of either barely lost, barely won, or just, not played a consistently 60 minutes of good hockey and everything.
Do you think the Flyers make any moves at the deadline? It doesn't have to say, like, who, just any.
It depends if they get an offer for someone like Simmons. Or they will need a depth defenseman that's not one of our, if they want, God forbid, they want someone like Manning, or that's not going to happen. But, like, McDonald's not going to happen. Dude, that's not going to, wait, no, you're not going to make trade for anyone on defense. Unless a blockbuster trade for a Gossis Bear or something like that.
Oh, hey, it's the GM of the Vancouver Canucks. Listen to me. I got some of your old defensemen. I want some more. McDonald and Manning. What's on the table? Besser?
We'll take a patch of Daniel Sedin's hair, please. And just take some of the cap. Okay,
I think that ideally, based off of prior years, Hextall's not going to do anything that messes up team chemistry right now.
Yeah, they're
unless the Penguins are like, we're going to trade you Crosby. Then, you'd be stupid not to. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think it's going to do anything to mess up team chemistry.
Any forwards that'll move will probably be someone like a Simmons or a Filppula to round out someone's bottom lines.
He always says, nothing for a short fix. Like,
yeah.
Hextall's realistic about the team's chances this year. Not a lot of other people are, but,
well, the Eagles
won the
Super Bowl, dude. It's only natural that the Flyers win the cup, bro. It's Philly, man. The curse is over. What curse, dude?
I mean Howie Roseman rebuilt the Eagles after the Chip Kelly debacle way faster than Hextall rebuilt the Flyers after the Paul Holmgren debacle.
A different kind of sport. There's
dude. I'm just saying. Hextall's not that great, all right?
Football doesn't have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, football, you just cut people and take away their
money. Did Hextall ever win GM of the Year like Howie did? No.
Does hockey have guaranteed contracts? Half the battle.
Here's the other thing, too. Doug Pearson.
But their salaries are way
Doug
less,
Pearson
bro. Okay.
Got one vote for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand how that worked. I get that the Rams sucked forever, and then they had a good season.
They didn't suck forever. They won the Super Bowl like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but they sucked since then forward, and then they had a winning season.
They were
like
good
really
in my lifetime.
They
were the greatest show on turf.
But, yeah, I think what Pearson did, not even that, because the Eagles were okay last season, but even with all the injuries, from the outsider's perspective, I find that more impressive than just the team winning 13 games.
Yeah, so we had Carson Wentz, but they had the first overall pick, Jared Goff, so that should cancel it out, right? I don't know.
Lost Sproles, lost.
The fact that Wentz went down and we got this far with Foles just proves.
Hey,
I
wasn't too confident, but I believe that they could possibly do it with how good the team was. But I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I can't sit here and say I thought we're gonna win it. I said the road's gonna be much, much tougher, and they did it anyway. And I see people now is just the fact that Foles played so well just shows that Wentz isn't that good. He's a system QB. Okay. I was like, oh, here we go.
And then all the trolls were out on Sunday night, and they were like, oh, congratulations, Philly. Enjoy your quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
So the problem is Wentz and Foles, from all accounts, are like really cool with each other, and Foles has no problem being a backup, or he'll go somewhere. Who cares?
Well, yeah.
They were saying
Arizona is probably his landing
Foles
spot. His early landing spot, Arizona.
Foles he gets.
Yeah, but basically, like, the Eagles have him under contract for what, like one or two more years?
I believe he has.
Yeah,
Like, even if he wants to be like a crybaby, they could just be like, shut up, deal with it.
He's not going to be, though.
They could trade him to wherever. Like, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
He's starting from the bottom, now he's here.
Yeah. You know what you can get for a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I don't know what the Cardinals have.
You're asking a guy that knows nothing about football.
You shut up. Are you talking about me or Jeff?
Jeff.
Okay, thank God. What the hell? I know. I'm like those goddamn people on Jeopardy. You saw that? Like,
oh my God, that was awful.
That just made me just want to punch a nerd in the face and say, do my calculus homework, nerd.
What is
Alex? You could tell too, Alex Trebek was like, what the fuck, man? Like,
I know, like, you guys aren't really into sports, but this is America, damn it.
Offsetting, are you fucking killing me?
I wish I was killing you, but do you know what time it is?
It's time for
Shibadoo Bop Bop Tweet of the week. Yeah.
That's right, everybody. It's time for Tweet of the Week, that point of the show where you, the listener, you, the fan, or you, the person on Twitter, has no idea what the hell we are, tweet something we find cool, funny, congratulates us, kisses up to us, or maybe even congratulates the Eagles. So, Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
So I went through Twitter, and we basically liked and retweeted a whole bunch of Super Bowl tweets. So if you want to see them all, go on there and check it out. But here, I'll keep this one Flyers related. So remember Tony X?
Tony
the
X.
The St. Louis Blues fan.
Oh, yeah. The guy who was like, this hockey game is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, there's a guy named Kane.
The black dude who watched a hockey game and then live tweeted it, and then like he got to go to all the Blues games.
He has a podcast now, doesn't he?
I'm not sure, but he tweeted on Sunday night, it's only right the Eagles win the Super Bowl since their fans have to deal with LaTerra every night. So we'll keep it nice and Flyers related.
Watched hockey for like 2.5 years and even knows.
Yeah,
that.
even he knows your LaTerra stinks.
Well, he was a Blues fan, so yeah. I mean, so, it makes sense.
He had to see that. He had awesome. To see that drivel on the ice every night. So at least he kept it Flyers related.
So Kyle X, thank you for
Tony X.
Tony X, thank you for
Bop Bop Tweet of the Week. Yeah.
All right, that's it for Tweet of the Week.
But seriously, there's a lot of just basically Sunday night was full of love, so we were just retweeting and liking everything.
Yeah.
It was awesome seeing like all of like the day of the Super Bowl, the Phillies put out the Phillies Twitter account put out a video, and it was like J Roll, Larry Boa, Mike Schmidt, and Jim Tomei, all like
the classics.
Yeah, and then you had like Charlie Manuel after they won was congratulating them. It's just like really cool to see. And then like the NBA had like a bunch of people. It was like Dion Waiters, Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry was actually at the game. And then Joel Embiid, obviously, and Kobe Bryant.
The Flyer, Kobe was going. You watched the video? It was awesome to see. I thought he was going to drop his baby running around.
And then Will Smith made like a miniature like short of like him getting ready for the Super Bowl. It's pretty funny.
Okay, I'll check that one out. I saw him like post something about it. I will say that just seeing that with the talk on your point, Doyle, that is great to see all the teams doing. It's good for the city. It's good for the feeling of the city. It's good, I think, for just team unity across the board to get like more people out to games. It garners revenue and interest in each of the teams. Even if you're like a little cross promotion there, and dude, they feel it. They all want a parade too. They want to win. These guys are playing professional sports because they want to win. They love the game that much. Like, yeah, you can say for the money, but no. But these guys all have talent, but they have to work hard.
Nobody wants to lose.
Yeah, so they want to win. And they want to bring a parade down Broad Street, too. And when the Phillies did it, too, you saw a lot of teams supporting them and everything. So it's really awesome to see. And I still am not 100% sure what the hell happened, but I have nothing has really been able to keep me down all week. I'm just excited through the roof with gratitude and happiness that this finally happened in my lifetime, and that'll hopefully carry over to a Flyer Stanley Cup win, where I'll be having the same conversation maybe on this very podcast, who knows. With that being said, though, it's time for another part of the show. We break down some of people have deserved some kudos in Flyers or Philly world. So Lauren Hart waves of the week to go out to a player or person. So Doyle, you want to take it this week?
Sure.
How you feeling? So Doyle, your Lauren Hart wave of the week.
Good old Saint Nick.
Nick Foles. All right, so we're going off the board with the Flyers this week.
Yeah.
So Nick Foles.
And especially after watching the video where the fourth and goal play, he like
the
walked
Philly
over.
Special.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Doug Peterson's like, all right, we're going for it. And Nick Foles just looks at him. He's like, Philly? And he's like, yeah, all right, hold on a second. And then just like,
yeah.
You see him call it in the huddle. It's awesome. Just awesome watching
it's
that whole video.
Yeah, that was basically like if Doug Peterson was like more of like a guy of our ilk and not like a nice family Christian man, he would have been like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it when the
yeah,
Super
exactly.
Bowl, you motherfucker. Like that's the kind of body language. And
yeah, because he like said it and like stopped and like looked at him for a second. He's like, yeah, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, dude, that sounds like a good idea. Like Nick Foles calls it. Like what a... The balls on that guy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just, like, so outrageous. He was like, yeah, you know what? Don't question it. Let's just go for it.
If he missed it, it would have been like everyone would have questioned it. But the thing is, the team's been that good all year. They're that close. That shows the team all trust each other. They had Corey Clement and Trey Burton do the whole play.
Yeah.
To pass it to Foles. Like, they have a new guy, Corey Clement. They have Trey Burton, who's been having trouble seeing the field the last few years.
Yeah, but he played. Apparently, he played quarterback in college.
Yeah, he did. He's a great athlete. So instead of Lane Johnson, they could have fumbled Ruskin to Lane Johnson to throw.
Did you see how sour Patriots fans were because they were yelling illegal formation?
But it doesn't matter. Nick Foles is a wingback. He's supposed to be like, you know, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, they were complaining that he wasn't lined up correctly, but apparently Jeffrey was close enough and he put his hand up and the refs just ignored it.
What you do when you're a receiver is, or a tight end, when you say you're on the line, you go to the ref and point to them and say, I'm on the line. So as long as you're within an inch or two of that, you're fine.
Yeah.
They teach you that in high school.
Patriots fans are super sour about it. It's just another way the refs fucked.
The refs usually like give you the okay, too. Yeah.
I'm a fat guy who played lineman, never played at the game of receiver in my life. I know it's hard to believe, but I know that.
I will never.
You always see it on TV. You go like this, hey, ref, like this. They get their stance.
I'll never forget that because last year when the Eagles were playing Seattle and Nelson Aguilar wasn't up on the line and the ref was telling him to move up on the line, it negated like a 30-yard touchdown to Zach Ertz.
Especially after the year at Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you're a Lauren Hart wave of the week.
Maybe that was 2 years ago. I forget. But either way.
Claude Giroux for making the save Brian Elliott couldn't.
That was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that was an awesome play. Yeah. I was like, oh!
Did it twice, too.
Oh.
Smacked it out of midair and then slid back
dove,
across.
Yeah.
I was like,
awesome.
Paul Bearer. Oh! Undertaker! Sorry. Couldn't resist. Rest in peace.
Is this your new character?
Yeah, it's called Paul Bearer Drew.
Paul Bearer back from the dead Drew.
I like that. It's even more descriptive. Catchy, but I like it. A little wordy, but it's good.
Just buy an urn on eBay and carry it around.
Oh! We have your parents' ashes. They dump them on him like... What a, even the 90s wrestling was a shit show.
Yeah.
It's only gotten worse. And my Lauren Hart wave of the week. You probably guessed it. It can go to the whole Eagles team, but I'm going to specifically point out Doug Peterson. I have not cried happy man tears. I don't even know when. And on Sunday, just getting ready for the game, I was tearing up listening to Eagles talk radio or something like that, just listen, like hearing what they had to say and just like tuning them out and just thinking about how I'm going to feel and all the times I've gone to games with my uncle and my cousin and my family, how it's been like a tradition, like, you know, Eagles for a lot, not all my whole family, but a lot of my family members that I'm close with, and how we have so much fun over the years and like how much it would be great to experience that with them. And I hadn't hugged my uncle since my grandmother died, and I cried then too, but it's a whole different reason. You know, it was awesome. I have coworkers I work with, grown men, that came up to me and said, dude, ran up to me and gave me a hug. They're all hungover and shit. Like, it's just been an awesome, amazing ride. I know I keep talking about today, but fuck you. It's our show. it's a great feeling, and I hope that anyone who loves a sports team that much gets to feel that same thing. And if you're a Flyers fan, like if you are, if you're listening to this, we are going to one day, and I'm very sure that.
As soon as they get rid of Hextall.
Oh, shut up, Jeff.
It does put a lot of pressure on Hextall, though.
Does it really, though?
Peterson's in his second year. The guy won a Super Bowl. So.
Okay, well, here's the thing, though. Let me put it this way. Carson Wentz is Connor McDavid in the NFL. The second overall pick.
Nolan Patrick because he was second overall.
So was McDavid second overall?
No, McDavid was first.
Jack Eichel.
Jack Eichel's not doing that great either.
I would venture to say Goff is Eichel, even though, I'm sorry, the second overall thing, my bad. Just think about it this way. Connor McDavid turned the Oilers around.
Either way, you're comparing apples to oranges.
Because think about it. The Oilers drafted a bunch of other players, too, that didn't really couldn't get done, but they were good talent. That's like your Zach Ertz. That's your Lane Johnson. Oh. That's all these players have been drafting over the years.
But the Oilers stink now, so your story doesn't hold true.
Okay, and the Flyers, I mean, the Eagles stink next year. It's
just trying
suck,
to say Hextall's a bad coach, guys.
I know, but like you always just say stuff out of turn, and I don't like it.
You always say stuff out of turn.
And I don't like it.
I hate your opinions,
Wait
and I hate
your turn.
You.
Maybe not out of turn, off kilter. You're just an idiot. All right, anyway. So I guess that's pretty much it for the show. You guys got anything else?
Yeah, just this.
All right, guys. I want to thank you guys all for listening to this somewhat Eagles-filled Flyers episode.
I think you knew it was coming. If you
listen to the show at all, you know where Doyle and I are at on this.
And if you had any idea about what happened in Philly sports.
Yeah, and I could have petitioned to get way more videos played to just listen to them.
Oh, yeah. By the way, check out my Twitter, at Drew Papsky, for a really hilarious video that got our podcast account tweeted for, posted it from him on the Eagles subreddit, and, like, these fucking losers, like, reported me and got me banned. So, but, yeah, they banned us from Eagles Reddit for 3 days because of this video.
Ah, fiddlesticks.
Used a word that's not really supposed to say nowadays. However, it was related to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You go figure it out. It's a video of Malcolm Jenkins hitting Brandon Cooks in the game. We knocked him the hell out.
Very Dawkins-esque.
Yes, very B. Dawkins.
Patriots
so
fans are salty about that one, too.
If you see us at the parade tomorrow, recognize Doyle and I. Come say hi, but there's going to be a bunch of us there. Stay safe, Philadelphia. Stay safe anywhere else. Go Flyers. We'll see what happens with the Canadians on Thursday night. I will be liquored up after the whole day, and we'll check you next week on the Broad Street Boy podcast. Thanks for listening, and congrats again to the Philadelphia Eagles. You're Super Bowl 52 champions. Gangsters move in silence, nigga, and I don't talk a lot. I don't say a word. I don't say a word. Was on my grind, and now I got what I deserve. Fuck, nigga. Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. When I bought the ass tomorrow, y'all thought it was raining. Flexing on these niggas, I'm like Papa on the spinach. Double M, yeah, that's my team, Rose. This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis. And Doyle. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.